Blog Talk Radio.
Ever made a bad choice? We all have. Does the law now shame you for that bad choice? Shame on them for giving us so many damn poor options in the first place.
My bad, I don't know what that was. Alright, you go.
Hello, this is Ground Zero, celebrating loving the movement, hosted by Anaya Betts and Reginald Clemens. We celebrate by recognizing the small steps and leaps and bounds of individuals and activist groups whom have led us further away from slavery and closer to full freedom, from mass incarceration through efforts in justice reform and in society at large. Today, I would like to cover the topic of, a continued topic of African-American inclusion, equality, and diversity in the marketplace. When it comes to investment in banks, banks investing in African-American businesses and the exclusion of African-Americans in the unequal way that finances are distributed and what it is that we can do about it. If you would like to call in and make any comments, please call in into the switchboard at 657-383-1630. That's 657-383-1630. And if you would like to blog, go to AA Trust Fund. AA Trust Fund is connected to the African American Trust Fund, which is for the reinvestment purposes of growing our intellectual property and provide protection to African American intellectual property and industrializing those ideas to push them to market. And any donation that you make to the AA Trust Fund will be utilized in that way. Jumping right into the subject of African-American inclusion in the marketplace, when it comes to future investment and future technology and future diversity and equality, the two leading edge markets right now in the United States is definitely computer technology, software development, and the marijuana that's in the marijuana head shops and everything, where there's billions of dollars being made off of the growing and selling of marijuana for medicinal purposes, for psychological purposes, for pain management, in a naturalist herbalist movement. And we as African American people have been excluded economically from this, from these growth potentials, by a lack of STEM projects and a lack of STEM development in the African American community. I remember back in the 90s, it might be before a lot of you all's time, because some of you all are too young to know or have even been alive back in 93. But in 93 and 94, Bill Clinton, the Clinton administration, had sent like $4 billion over to India to develop their STEM projects to help them developing computer technology and engineering. And the African American community was rightfully upset, because it's like, oh, we paying taxes. We need STEM development in the African American community so that we can have job creation and that we, so that we can have education opportunities. That's an education opportunity that would set us up for the future. Now, fast track to today, and we've been excluded from Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley Bank is collapsed. And I believe it's because of the lack of diversity. And when you have a lack of diversity, you have a lack of diversity of ideas. You you have the explosion of a lot of superior ideas and a lot of potential advancement, and you're missing a lot of talent. You exclude and discriminate against the entire talent pool. Whenever you discriminate against diversity or try to hold back diversity. And this also translates over into the next.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
When it comes to, because I know there's a website that just went up. There's an app that's online called Bud Tender. It's African American owned. And what it does is it provides a service where you can contact Bud Tender, and what Bud Tender does is send you somebody who will help you grow your own marijuana at home. Somebody who has qualified credentials and who is good at helping you grow homegrown and selective different seeds and everything that you need, and get you set up to grow you some weed next to your fish tank. And for medicinal purposes or pain management or to curb your depression or anxiety. And marijuana has also been used to help people with arthritis. There are people that are still alive today because of marijuana. And it's not just in Bud Tender, that's BUDTINDER, it doesn't just help people grow weed, because it's not just about helping people get high. It's not, that's not what it's about. It's about helping people in the naturalist herbalist movement grow herbs, herbal remedies, and teas, and other variety of different homegrown crops and everything. So it's a real good app. It's professionally set up. It's been professionally done. It looks real good, and it has a video with it and everything. And I'm mentioning it and promoting it because that's what we need to do as African American people, is to push and help other African Americans in the industry and in every industry, other than just music industry and the sports industry. We are much, much more than that. We are more than entertainers. We are excellent entertainers, but we are so much more than that. Our talent in the music industry and in the sports field show what it is that we can offer in our talent pool. You know, our creative ability and creative skills. And to exclude us from that, and to exclude anybody from that, you miss a broad earth of talent. And when it comes, and then you also miss a lot of various other aspects to advancing peace, advancing balance, advancing harmony. Because, like what Bud Tender offers, there's a lot of people doing a lot of dangerous things with weed these days. They're spraying it with fentanyl. There's people spraying it with PCP and spraying weed with liquid tranquilizers. And think that it's safe to do that, and that's what's going to bring customers back in and increase their customer base, because everybody's going to get higher off of their weed. Well, you're putting people's lives at risk, because it is well known that with fentanyl and carfentanil is an elephant tranquilizer, fentanyl is a horse tranquilizer. We are not as big as horses, and we are not as strong as elephants. And that is why fentanyl death, when it comes to the opioid crisis, has caused so many mass overdoses, because there's no way to control the dosage. When you utilize fentanyl, it clumps together. Carfentanil, it clumps together. It has a tendency, it's called accretion, and it has a chemical tendency to be attracted to itself. So no matter what solution you utilize, you cut it up in, it's hard to get it to disperse and dissolve into any type of fluid or anything, or be cut by any. It's not. There are very few things that you can cut it with. The process of cutting fentanyl is chemically complex, to say the least. I'm not going to give anybody any drug tips because I'm not trying to help anybody, harm anybody. So, what we need to do, and I'm saying that's something, that's a problem that Budtender also fixes and addresses. Because with Budtender, you know where your supply is coming from. And you can get a high quality product, and you'll get at least a pound out of each plant. And then you won't have to pay that 60% tax that is being levied against weed that is bought out in the market, because it's homegrown. So with Budtender, you can support the African-American business models. You can help generate cyclical finances in the African-American community. And you can also safely smoke your bud or grow other natural herbs for healing. Grow your own rosemary and grow your own basil, and have somebody that is good at horticulture and botany and to come to your home and set you up with everything that you need and give you instructions, and also come by and continue to help monitor the growth process. And as you learn to grow your own, And with that, I'd like to move on to Anaya. Anything you want to add? Anaya? Hello. Well, now I was watching the markets today a little bit earlier, and Bitcoin is on the rise, and a lot of banks are beginning to waver and collapse. And as I said before, I believe it's due to a lack of...
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
The willful discriminatory practices of the banks. And a lot of things that the banks have been investing in lately have went bottom up because of the discriminatory practices and exclusion of talent. And when you start loaning money out, you end up loaning money out on preferential basis instead of economic viability model analysis, which basically means you didn't look at how much money somebody was making or what, how good they were at making money in whatever business that they're doing. You just gave them some money because you like their jokes. Or you gave them some money because you like their shoes. That is not sound grounds basis upon which to invest in anybody's business model. And then that's another.
You have 1 minute left.
A lot of African American businesses have submitted proposals to accelerators, and we don't get anywhere. Because we're not amongst the preferred group. And it's sad because the after effects and the side effects of that and buying off into the corporate Confederate model, that's why a lot of these banks are beginning to fail, because they've let their banking system run on fear instead of run on measurable success. Anai?
Yeah. Rosie, you're going to have to go. Call back in.
Call back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say you
thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
So yeah, I can attest to not getting into accelerators and having a dope business model, a dope program, working with dope people, having dope partnerships. But when it comes to getting funding, it's a stretch all the time. And there's so much funding here in our communities that come through our communities, but it doesn't go to any of us. And when I say any of us, I'm
sender at the Jefferson City Correct.
I'm obviously talking about the everyday people who have business or have ideas or have.
If you would like to permanently block your number for receiving calls from this facility, press 6.
Hold on, I didn't hear what.
Free call, press 1. To refuse this free call, press. Thank you for using security. We may start the conversation now.
So, the majority of us who are not even, you know, like not urban leagues or not these big conglomerate black organizations or black trope organizations, right? If we're not them, we don't get funded, okay? And then they have, in recent times, have tried to make this push, right, to go more grassroots. So they advertise grassroots. They put it out there like, oh, no, we want everybody. So they'll come and host workshops in our neighborhoods, in our churches, at our libraries. And come to find out, we get into these workshops and we get into these things and, oh, they're like, well, the grant is a rebate. It's a reimbursed grant, right? You got to spend the money first. I'm like, I'm asking for $100,000. I don't have $100,000. How the fuck am I going to spend $100,000 and get reimbursed through your grant? You get what I'm saying? Like, how the, like, make this stuff make sense. Why is it that when it comes to funding our ideas, it's always a catch or it's always, it's always never coherent in being beneficial to who we are and our circumstances, right? It's always some outlining fine print that prevents us from being able to actually succeed and actually get these things, right? If it's not fine print, it's racist judges. If it's not a racist judge, or racist decision making, it's them choosing the safest, most marketable PC company that ain't gonna get us nowhere. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about that real change. It ain't about real people trying to make real change. Never is it about that. And so that's all I gotta say because I can attest to it. I've worked with people who have done great, phenomenal work in the community, and they struggle getting just those everyday grants that are available, that is available to us in the hundreds of billions of dollars. I'm not talking about that penny change that float around where you do a fundraiser and you raise maybe $10,000, right? I'm not talking about those type of things. I'm talking about the big money that can make big change.
I know in the past you've dealt with accelerators and gone to accelerators. And I know that's what you was touching on. And in your experience, have you felt as if you were discriminated against or seen something you felt was concrete evidence of discrimination in the selection process?
See, discrimination in the selection process is not even the word for it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Because once you say discrimination, everybody's thinking race, right? Everybody's thinking some type of stereotype or some type of adherence to, they, I don't even get enough into the door for them to even know that I'm black. But what happens is they know my mission is black. They know my mission is big. They know my dream is big. And what it is they'll say, oh, it's too busy. I didn't understand, right? It was all over the place, or it wasn't focused, or it wasn't, and it's not that it wasn't focused, because you could be very clear on what you're doing and very specific. The real truth is you really aren't about changing what you say you about changing. Because how can you say, oh, this grant is for youth development and youth leadership, but then you go fund a popcorn shop, right? What the fuck is a popcorn shop going to do getting youth into entrepreneurship and leadership roles, right? We don't like to think outside the box. We think because somebody has an idea that may seem large in the scope of his mission, we don't look at the executable steps that, number one, what has it already done to get through the door to what it's already doing? Number two, what are the next steps that it's trying to reach? And is it practical? And 9 times out of 10, it is practical. It's just not done how traditionally people would see youth leadership. People want to see, oh, you got a program together with young people? Oh, okay. That means that you have a day-by-day curricula of things that you're putting these kids through, right? And these kids are following some type of structured, rigid lecture and forced condominium things that is not adaptable to each kid. So what ends up happens is your selection process is rigid. That means that you are only selecting students that these people who the grant, right, these people who is granting you these funds, that they want to see succeed, not the kids that you know need your services.
Facility and maybe monitored and recorded.
Because once you put in there, I help and lead the ones that are left out, and they don't believe that's possible because they already don't believe in our children. You get what I'm saying? So you gotta.
And we're not included in the leading edge technology or the leading edge market or the future projected market.
Exactly.
And I like what you said about discrimination, not just being black, because Asian people get discriminated against, Jewish people get discriminated against, Muslims get discriminated, people get discriminated against for their religious practices. I'm saying, because discrimination is cronyism and nepotism. So it's like, it doesn't just stop with just African-American people. And I know one of the things that I be tripping off of when it comes to discrimination is how some people perpetuate their own discrimination. That's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother topic right there. But discrimination is not limited to black people. It's just race. And I like that. I like that how you brought it up and how you touched on that, because...
Well, don't confuse my words for what I said, that it's not about race. I'm talking about it's not about the stereotype, period, of traditional discrimination. Traditional discrimination is race, religion, sex, that bullshit. People do not obviously discriminate on that anymore. What they do is they go away from new. People are scared of change. People are scared of radical and vibrant and beautiful ideas. They don't like those things, and if it either messes with big money and the status quo, exactly, if it is challenging that, they are not going to fund you, period.
Right.
It doesn't
bolster the status quo in some type of way,
They won't, and that is the part that is discriminatory, because those are the things that if we don't ever get to the part where we are radically changing how we approach things and how we just carry out certain types of traditional things like learning and getting people involved and doing and figuring out how do we meet people where they are, or how do we meet this new phenomena of people who are going through it.
What about your computer programming project that you've been working on? I'd like to do a show about that. I know next.
Well, we only got 1 minute.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off when I just did. But I said I'd like to do a show about the project that you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And also, next week, God willing, we're going to have Anthony Shahid on. So we'll talk more about the death penalty and how individuals are treated while on death row, condemned or treated pre-execution during protocol countdown. Because it's egregious. It's not fair. It's not right. And I myself went through a pork death protocol countdown, and I want to share some of my personal experience and also get his views. Thank you, Anaya, for helping with Ground Zero. I appreciate you greatly, and I hope I'm doing a good job in helping people understand what it is that we're trying to push and what it is we're trying to contribute to. And I hope that you learn something. I pray for you all, and I pray that our humanity is elevated. We come closer together as a human family and learn to love and prosper from that love. I pray for you, and God bless you and guide you. Peace.
Peace.